You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and I was looking back in my email probably back into early 2020 when I could find the earliest AI writing tool that I bought off of the AppSumo website. And by the way, I'm fully ready and willing to admit that I own a lot of them. And it's because so many of these tools have come out over the course of about 24 months now. I think that was about how long ago it was when I purchased my first one, about March or April of 2020. And there are continuous developments, iteration of the use of this artificial intelligence technology to help support writing. Writing of all different shapes and sizes, from the writing that I tend to do in my business, which is sales copy and email copy, to the type of writing that somebody who might be in the content writing profession, search engine optimization type writing, for example. And today we're going to dig into sort of that landscape overall and look at a super cool tool that is now on the market that's unlike pretty much anything else that I have encountered or expect to encounter for a little while. And that is content at scale. Fortunately, I am joined by somebody who actually knows this software in depth. It's the CEO and founder of the platform, Justin McGill. Justin, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. So I gave away, you know, it's like one of those things. I'm an AppSumo customer. I'm willing to admit that I've probably spent a lot of money on stuff that I never ever used, never planned to use. But I'm always sort of curious what's under the hood. And this has been a fascinating couple of years. And you got into it by your background is as a marketing agency owner. You got into the software world back in 2014, maybe even before that. But and then you launched this platform, Content at Scale, in 2021. And I wonder if you can, before we get into the AI world, talk a little bit about your transition from agency into software as a service.
Yeah, sure. So started an agency in 2008. And just started with website development, and kind of one of those clients asked me if I did SEO, and I was like, what is that, right? So downloaded an ebook and started learning everything I could. And then I responded, I said, yeah, I do that too, right? Because I immediately just was gravitating towards the recurring revenue model, not chasing the next project. And so quickly we transitioned into a marketing agency, and I say we, it was just me at the time. And you know, through that, trying to kind of like replicate myself and the work I was doing, I was using like content spinners and all of that stuff back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. Because you could get away with it. And so, you know, lots of lessons there, but ultimately I was able to scale into a seven-figure agency, and then stepped down from that in 2014, launched LeadFuse, which was my first kind of foray into SaaS, like you mentioned, in 2014. And ironically, that's an outbound sales tool, but I used content marketing and SEO right from the very beginning. I mean, I literally live blogged the launch of it. And so that actually relies 100% on inbound. And it's all like just completely passive for me, which is great. But like, I wanted to build, I felt like AI was progressing to a point where I could actually build something in the content marketing space and in the long form world in particular, because that's my bread and butter and it's always worked for me, right? So that's what I set out to do. That was the summer of 2021. And then by that December, had launched kind of a content agency on top of it. We were basically the first like AI-driven content agency, right? And we were very public about it, everyone else trying to hide it and stuff. Well, the AI, it turns out, wasn't ready. And basically, I sold a bunch of business, and then we had to put plans on pause for a few months. And it was a disaster there because our writing team ultimately had to like almost recreate the content and everything from scratch. And so we shut that down, and then we ended up like just going back to the drawing board. And finally, by around that May last year, we really started to have some breakthroughs. And then we got to a point where we could launch what, you know, we call our beta September, first week of September of 2022. And we've been live since then.
So if you can help us understand sort of what is behind the scenes, right? You said the AI wasn't ready in 2021, but by the spring of 22, things had developed quite a bit. And I think, you know, we're recording this in early 2023. Things have moved rapidly from the day that I opened my conversion.io account, which is now called Jasper, and maybe they'll change their name again. Who knows?
Right.
Although I think they probably have settled on that one. Their third, by the way, for those of our listeners who don't know what I'm referring to. There have been, there's a lot of different pieces to the puzzle that go into all of this software. There's the sort of databases that originate the source material that these things are built on, and then lots of other things that different software can choose to incorporate into what they're then delivering to the consumer on the front end. Can you sort of explain where you started with this, what wasn't ready, and now where you are?
Yeah, you bet. So essentially, like, so Jasper and Copy AI and all those like AI writing assistant tools, they're all awesome, but they're more kind of general purpose built, right? Like you talked about at the beginning with you would use it for sales copy or emails or, you know, like, and it's, or like ideas or, you know, script ideas or whatever, like titles and stuff. Like it's awesome for that. The challenge is from like a long form SEO blog content perspective, it doesn't really work out that well. Like you're spending a lot of time, number one, like creating those posts and kind of prompting it all along the way. And if you let it go too far, it kind of goes off the rails and you've got to go back. Right. And so that was a challenge doing that with, you know, the writing team. Again, it is faster than starting from scratch with nothing. Right. But the second part of that was the detection of AI, right? Like I knew that was going to be a big factor, and you just had to assume Google was going to have some sort of system that could identify this stuff, right? And that could pose challenges. And so,
well, that's what you were referring to earlier in your career with the spinning articles, right?
Right.
It's basically just finding alternate words to rewrite the same article multiple times in slightly different variations. And Google penalized that once they sort of realized that was going on. And so the expectation is that we're going to see something similar. Totally. Well, they already announced something, but that we're going to see, you know, as AI continues to develop, Google's going to continue to develop a response.
Yep, absolutely. And so that was something that, you know, I was very cognizant of, right, you know, from the beginning before we even launched, for one. Two, you know, all those other tools, I mean, they're just a layer on top of GPT-3, right? Like with a great, you know, looking interface or whatever, and making it easy to interact. And so, like, I knew we had to incorporate GPT-3 because it is like the leading generative AI. But I knew there were additional layers on top that we were going to have to add to this as well to, you know, basically the way it is now, like you could upload like 50 keywords and a few minutes later, you've got 50 blog posts that are all 2,500 plus words, right? Like right out of the gate. And so, and those pieces of content are 85-ish% of the way there. Well, that's, and by the way, they're all undetectable from an AI perspective. And so the reason we could pull that off is because there's multiple things, multiple layers, multiple models going on. We're crawling Google, right, in the top ranking content. And then we're using natural language processing and semantic analysis just to identify relevant keyword phrases and things like that. So if you've ever used Surfer or, you know, tools like that, it's that kind of concept. And that helps kind of guide that last step, right? That 85% to 100% publish ready. Like it's the edit, what we call AIO, right? It's AI optimization now, right? So as a as a writer, I think a lot of people get concerned that this sort of technology is going to take my job away. And so there's some pushback in terms of like adopting it. But realistically, you just, you have to learn how to become that AIO writer, right? That AIO editor that's utilizing AI. There's a meme that was kind of surfacing here recently. And it was like, you know, what is it? It's like AI is not going to replace you. The person using AI will, right? Mm-hmm. So you just need to adapt your skill set, upskill it a little bit, right? Incorporate this and realize that you can do a month's worth of content in a single day. And so how much more valuable do you become when you can help the company do that, right? So, you know, I think there's just a transformation that's happening in digital marketing, and you can push back all you want, right? You can fight the good fight, but it's not changing. Like, this is just getting, it's widespread adoption, right? Like ChatGPT, a million users in a week, right? So it's like, it's crazy what's happening in this space. It's the fastest moving thing I've ever seen. But, you know, what that presents is an opportunity. Yeah. And so I think people just need to realize that there is that opportunity. You can do something about it and not fight back on it. Right. But
we're in the middle of all of this at this point in time. And I think there's a lot of, particularly in the marketing world, and I can hear the excitement in your voice on the subject. And by the way, you're not the only one. I hear it in a lot of people's voices these days. It's very new technology. It's moving us forward as marketers and potentially as a society in a lot of ways faster than we operate currently. But if you think about a lot of the innovations that we've had over time, and I saw a LinkedIn post from Jim Jantz, who started Duct Tape Marketing like 20 something years ago, talking about, look, this is nothing new. Right. This is the current technology that everybody's excited about, but and is freaking out about in terms of it being problematic to the way that the structure of the marketing world exists. But people were freaking out about fax machines. People were freaking out about email. Now, this is a slightly different thing, but I think you made a really good point a minute ago that anybody can pick up one of these tools and hit a button and generate something. But the quality of what comes out is going to depend on good input from somebody who understands the value of what they're asking these tools to do. And the majority of tools, this is not exactly how yours is built, and we'll talk about how yours is built differently from a lot of them. The majority of tools are either a formula that is repeating the same structure over and over again, or they are based on a prompt, based on a request from the person phrasing the question, hey, can you do this for me? And the better the detail of the request, the better the response. But I think you've seen a lot of this. I've seen a lot of this. Regardless of the quality, those platforms like ChatGPT, Jasper, et cetera, there is a generic tone and a generic feel to a lot of the output. Doesn't have a personality. The structure still feels very much the same on pretty much any of the responses that I get when I play around with those tools. And so I can see how it's pretty easy to detect.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to like word probabilities. So it's been trained on billions and billions of pages of content, right? And from that, it knows, based on this niche that you're talking about, the most likely word that you're trying to type next is this. And so if you're constantly using one of the highest, most probable words every step of the way, yes, it can be detected. Now, like, we have a free AI detector as well, and it does awesome for us. But the thing to remember is these are not like, it's not telling you, oh, I just copied and pasted this right out of ChatGPT and now it knows I was pasting it, right? Because somehow there's some hidden thing behind it that says I copied this out from this tool. That's not what's going on here. All it is it's giving you the probability of this piece of content that you pasted into this tool is likely from an AI system, just based on the fact that you're using, you know, these word patterns, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's saying, actually, you're not, there's a lot of variation in the way you're writing, and it's more natural. And so it comes off as more human-like. So it's just giving you like a gauge of, does this pass the sniff test, right? Does this come off as human-like, or does it come off as AI-like? And so we have our AI detector uses the same technology as Google's. Google's actually come out with a research paper on this and talked about, you know, what they're incorporating and everything else into it. So like, we know what they're looking for. And that's not to say that that's not going to change and evolve over time. But what else has changed and evolved over time is their wording around their guidelines for like automated content, right? So November 2021, John Mueller of Google came out saying, listen, like, at some point it's not going to matter how content is generated, but we're not there yet. And so any content that's created by automated means is against their guidelines. That was always word for word what was in their guidelines. Mm-hmm. As of a couple of weeks ago, when, you know, it was noticed that Bankrate and CNET and these different sites had all of these page one rankings with all their AI generated content, Google had to come out and address it. And so what's changed is it still says any content created by automated means, but now there's a little tweak to that message, which is without regard for user helpfulness, right? That is a huge point of view. That's a huge shift. And so the content that are like, and this is the value of being super focused on solving one problem. We're not a general purpose AI writing tool. If you want email copy or, you know, landing page stuff or script ideas or whatever, like, that's not what we're for. Content at Scale is built specifically for long form SEO content. And because of that, like, we've engineered our AI to follow that, right? So everything is about a long form piece of content. But within that, there's structure too. So we add a table of contents, and you can turn all these things on or off or whatever, but out of the gate, there's a table of contents. There's click to tweet functionality. There's key takeaways, right? The reason we put all of that in there is because it's helpful. It's helpful to the reader. Not only that, but when they click on a link in your table of contents, that's engagement now happening, right? They click to tweet out something. That's more engagement that's happening. Yeah. And so these things help you from a metric standpoint as well when you have a visitor. And you know, so we've built this with helpfulness in mind is the idea. And because of that, like, I think what you'll see is it's not ultimately going to matter how the content was created. If you've ever people that out like hire freelancers or anything like that, they're trying to find writers at 4 cents or 5 cents a word or something. If you've ever gotten that content back, if you think there's personality to that, if you think that that's better, like, you're crazy, right? Because like, just because it's AI generated does not mean that it's not better. Believe me, I've hired hundreds of writers and fired hundreds as well, because the content quality is just not there. And that's why something like this exists. That's why there's so much demand and why this whole world is exploding, is because the writers suck to begin with most of the time, right? And so, you know, this exists to solve that problem. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, if it's just not going to matter if it was AI generated or human generated or whatever. What matters is like what you do with that content. So like taking that content, adding your story to it, adding your expertise to it, right? But you're doing that from a base of like 2,500 words to start, not like creating something from scratch. And that content that's 2,500 words out of the gate is using like proven formulas, right? Like to rank and do well in search. Not only that, when you add your keyword, we're Googling that as well and pulling in related questions. And then we add FAQ schema to that content, right? We're answering those questions. So this content is helpful, right? That's the idea. You just need to add to it to make it your own and make it unique. Because when we have hundreds of thousands of customers all putting out this type of content, you have to like, this becomes table stakes, right? So you have to be thinking like, well, how else am I going to stand out? Right? One post a week, companies had problems publishing. Well, now when competitors can publish 20 or 50 posts a month, right? Like you're in trouble. Like you're going to fall behind because they're able to rank for all of those terms and drive all that traffic. But if you're all at a point where you're all publishing 20 plus posts a month, well, now what? Like how else do you stand out? And that's where, you know, that whole AIO process comes into play. You're optimizing that content. You're adding cool images or, you know, whatever else you're going to do to spice it up. Right. But That's one aspect. I think link building becomes more important. I think that I can go on and on, but like, you know, you have to like see where this is going, you know, and realize that you're going to have to adapt.
Yeah. First, I want to say, I love all of this technology, and I miss the days when all you needed was an ad in the Yellow Pages to be able to get, you know, people in the front door of your business. Let's compare sort of what you are doing with your platform and what the most well-known platforms, you know, we talked about Jasper, we talked about ChatGPT. Those are the ones that sort of are the two market leaders, one considerably larger in 7 days than the other. But they are not directly connected, although I just saw Jasper had a little switch in their chat capability to get responses sort of checked on the web. And ChatGPT, you can get a Chrome extension to also pull in information. But the responses or the content that platforms like those provide are based entirely on research and information that was collected up until a certain date and not live information. And what I heard you say is we're going out and looking at a whole bunch of information that is currently live and available online that's talking about this is what Google is giving us back today in response to the types of questions that somebody might be asking when they're going to find this article. And so there's a big difference there. Can you talk a little bit about sort of that piece of it and how that works and how it then feeds into the content that gets produced?
Yeah. So essentially, once you input your keyword, that's our trigger to go out and pull all the information in from Google and all the top ranking content and helps feed it context, basically, right? And then we're also using, like I said, natural language processing and semantic analysis and everything to identify which phrases are actually most important to those keywords. And that's based on, you know, how often they're mentioned on different top ranking articles and where they're mentioned. Are they in headers? Is it at the top or is it at the bottom? So there's a whole complex thing going on there. And so we pull that in. In addition, we're also pulling in like different sections of content from the top ranking sites. And so you could actually hit a plus button from our sidebar and add your own direct, like a similar section using that content as context as well. And so it'll generate a whole new version, you know, that's unique and everything, obviously. But yeah, so that's what's going on. I mean, that's how, you know, we're able to go out and put the content together, essentially.
So you gave me access to the platform to play around with, and I went through, and it was just a handful of steps to get to the place where it was what you're describing as 85% ready. And I read through the article that I ended up with, and there were, you know, a handful of places where I thought, oh, I disagree with this point of view, I'm going to change the way it says this, or wouldn't it be nice if I could drop in something that's more personal about me or my business in this section. But, you know, I would say that it really was, you know, 85 or more in terms of the percentage of ready to be published. I grabbed a photograph. I grabbed a couple of other pieces of information. But can you talk a little bit about the steps that I went through to get to that point where it was at 85%?
Yeah. So the very first thing you're doing is just setting up what we call a project, basically, which is a website where that content is going to go live. And within that, we're asking you to like supply some context and, you know, there's settings, right? You could choose language or, you know, tone of voice and you can whatever tone of voice you want, basically. But what's happening is, you know, that context helps kind of shape some of the content that it's going to produce. Number one. Number two, like our content always ends with some sort of a CTA at the end. So a call to action that like drives them back to your website or whatever. And we'll tie in both the keyword as well as your kind of overall project context and stuff to generate that. But yeah, so then that next step there's a couple of different ways. You could just literally just add a keyword, hit create content. Okay. Let the system run, see what it produces. Like if there is something, it's like, oh, I don't like that point of view, or I want it to talk about this and this and this. You could rerun that. And that rerun does not use up a post credit. Like we bill everything based on post credits. And so you know, if you rerun it, you can give it context and say the things that you want it to say at that point, right? Alternatively, you could provide that context up front and the AI will shape the content around that point of view or things that you want to take. And then another option would be getting super granular. You can actually customize it. And so you'll actually see sections and stuff it'll generate for you. And then you can go in and tweak all of that and, you know, however you want and feed that to the AI and the AI will follow that, you know? So it just depends on how granular you want to get with it, but you have all those options essentially. And then, you know, you just wait a few minutes and you've got a 2,500 word blog post, right? Is kind of the idea.
Yeah. I got to say, having played around with so many different platforms like this, there were very few steps that I had to, you know, sort of that there was, it was mandatory for me to go through to produce something of the quality that you ended up giving me at the end. And I kind of, you know, ignored some of the optional things simply because I was curious how it would generate. And it's incredibly impressive compared to even tools that do all of the steps that you're talking about. But I have to do them manually, right? I have to build out the pieces. I have to say, yeah, I like this concept from the top 20 results that I got on Google. Grab this and this and this and find a way to incorporate them, please. This did that for me automatically. And then gave me really the opportunity to then edit rather than write, right? So it got me a lot further along in the project.
Totally. That's exactly the idea. It's so much easier to take something that's written and you're just editing that, right? Versus starting from scratch and needing to come up with all this on your own.
So, okay, I want to change our conversation's direction completely because the way that you and I got connected is an interesting one. And I think it's instructive for businesses in general to hear how you are in part or totally, I don't know, building out your audience for this platform. At least you're a little over a year into sort of this version of it, getting it out there into the public. And I'd love for you to sort of tell the story of what our relationship is and what you're doing in general on this front.
Absolutely. So this just kind of goes back to something I've learned, which is the easiest way to start to build your business is getting in front of other people's audiences. All right. I've built up an audience, so I had a launching pad there, of course, but I wanted to have the credibility of that third party endorsement. And so I, right from the beginning, I've just valued affiliate relationships. And so we had a VA go put together, you know, obviously to start, just find people that are either serving our target market, they're in our target market, whatever. And just find their contact information. I had a whole email campaign, four-step email campaign ready to go. And so she would go out, find the people that, you know, I wanted to reach out to, basically, that we wanted to get this in front of. And maybe they're promoting competing products, right? Other AI tools in our case, or maybe they're coaching agency owners and, you know, like we want to get in front of agencies and because they're a great customer for us, right? So whoever that is, like she would go find that list of people and add them to our outreach campaign. And those are just, and they're all those are coming from me and they're all just, you know, they're all outbound. I have no idea who we're emailing until I get responses. At that point, you know, I'm taking that over. But the reason also that I valued this channel was not necessarily just because of we could get in front of other people's audiences. And then obviously there's a commission that they get back for those referrals and everything. And that's all tracked and all that. But the additional value is the link, right? So anytime, you know, someone does a review, they're going to link back using their affiliate link. Well, that link matters. That link helps us build authority. We have a DR57. This domain's a year old. You know, like that's a very difficult thing to do.
For all of our financial advisors in the audience, you want to explain what that means?
Yeah. So basically it's just like a credibility of your domain. Okay. And it's just it's a third party score in the SEO world. Most people follow Ahrefs is what they call DR. And so, you know, you start at zero basically. And, you know, getting 50 plus is a difficult thing to do for most companies. So, in over years, right. So we were able to exceed that in the first year. And that's because obviously I put an emphasis on link building from the very beginning, even before we launched, but, you know, also through this sort of a campaign, right? A launch campaign through affiliates and whatnot. We still do this. Every day we've got email campaigns going out to people. And so, you know, it's not just that we're able to get in front of their audience. It's the link too that helps us. You know, and now we've got about 400, almost 500 blog posts in our backlog that we're about to hit publish on, because we can, right? So yes. I wanted to wait until we had some domain authority and stuff and like work through everything we had to work through, but we're ready now. And we've had all of this content sitting there kind of waiting until we were just ready to hit blast on that essentially. And so now, because we have domain authority, that means, you know, our content's going to get indexed quicker. We have trust and credibility built up. So, you know, as companies can utilize platforms like ours to publish a lot of content, you know, again, I think that domain credibility is going to become more and more important, and links are going to be back in vogue. And those are going to be the things that you're going to want, because platforms like ours just become table stakes, essentially. Like, these are things you're going to have to do to keep up. And so, you know, but yeah, anyways, like as far as the affiliate angle, that was kind of the reasoning behind that and ultimately how we got connected. And, you know, like when you go to launch this podcast, right, you'll have show notes and within there, you'll link to Content at Scale because, you know, that's the company or whatever. And that's big, right? That's big for us. Just the link, let alone anything else that comes of it. So, you know, that's what makes it all kind of worthwhile in my eyes, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I did a video, which I put on YouTube as well. Right. And so you get that link too. So there's a benefit. I am not an SEO guy. I know a little bit. And one of the things that I see quite a bit of discussion about is, you know, just naturally getting people linking to your site based on the quality of the content that you have. And obviously the quality of what got generated when I went through my test is a lot more in depth and more detail than anything else I've generated through any artificial intelligence supported, you know, writing.
Yeah. That's why it works, right? Because you have to have the product or the service offering to support that. If the product sucked, right? Like, the worst thing that can happen is these people are out there talking crap about the product and why you should not use it and use this instead. And so, you know, definitely didn't want to launch that too soon, especially like when we first launched our Done For You service, I didn't want to do that. But, you know, we got it. I knew we were at a point where like, this was pretty cool. And the thing was too, even if no one bought this, it was still worth it for me because I knew I was going to use it nonstop for my own stuff. So I definitely scratched my own itch with it and knew that I would be able to take advantage of that, you know, through other ventures or whatever. It was going to all work out just fine. But I felt like there's probably a large segment of those users that are using those AI writing type tools that are using it specifically for blog post creation that need a better solution and something specific for them. Right. And so that's why, you know, this exists, quite frankly, but that's great feedback.
We're close to the end here. And I do want to ask you a question that I imagine is going to pop up into somebody's mind when they head over to the site and they look at it. And today you're still sort of, you know, positioned as early access. We'll tell you more after you request access, but at some point somebody's going to find out the pricing structure.
Yep.
And I think we've probably already answered this in our discussion, but I want to make sure that people understand why your prices are different from other prices they're going to find on AI writing tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Very different. So like our entry plan, we have like a $150 a month kind of a tester type plan. Our normal plans go from 250 upwards to 1500 a month. And it's all just based on your post credits and like, you know, how many posts you want, essentially. The higher the tier, the lower per post cost that it is. And so on our homepage, like, we have an FAQ area to let people know, like, you know, here's the starting point. It's pretty interesting because the website, we're going to launch a whole new site here soon, but like, and like we need brand improvements and stuff like that, that we're going, you know, that we're doing. But it's kind of interesting because we are definitely doing the whole like zig while everyone else is zagging. There is no free trial. You have to enter your name and email just to even see like the demo and learn the plans and all that, which is all stuff that like every conversion 101 person will tell you that's not going to convert. It converts like crazy. Like we're having insane success with this. And I think in large part too, because we do have a lot of people that have promoted it, right? They've shared it, they've experienced, they've used it, and then they feel comfortable like talking about it and getting the word out. And so there's no doubt that a lot of that trust and credibility is being passed through. And so our conversion rates are extremely high. And I'm talking like 25-ish% like unique visit to email capture, right? Like it's pretty wild. And through our like different things that we've got going on, I'll say, you know, we're over 100 organics a month. And so like, this is, you know, like there's actual number, this isn't like, oh, I converted 25 out of 100 visitors or something. Yeah. Like these are pretty, pretty large numbers in that sense. So it's, you know, it's growing extremely quickly. And I think ultimately too, it's just kind of a little bit of a magical thing where it's all just like brewing. And I think we launched at just the right time. And so timing is definitely playing a role, and people are hearing about this whole AI content thing. And so I think, you know, a lot of the people and a lot of our partners and stuff are a lot more comfortable promoting something like this. Right. So there's probably a lot of just, I think it's just all a perfect storm, quite frankly. I'm sure no matter how we structured the page or the site, we'd probably see a pretty, pretty solid, you know, conversion rate. But, you know, like when we do this whole new website and everything, our VP of marketing, you know, we were going back and forth on this, and I'm like, listen, I want to keep the whole, we're going to zig while everyone else is zagging. Right. But, you know, I also just want to make sure that when we make this change, like we're not losing like the long form content and all of that, that I feel is important, because there isn't a free trial. And that's because we have costs to create the content that we do. We're not just a simple layer on top of GPT-3. There's a lot more involved. There's a lot more going on. And so, like, for example, I mean, you could spend $3 to $4 just running a content audit through a tool like Surfer or something, right? So, like, what they're doing and powering, like, we're also doing in power, right? So there's a lot more going on there than just generating words. And so that's why, you know, it's done differently. But we had to do like a whole, like in super into like a 3,000 plus word breakdown of, you know, Jasper versus Content at Scale, because that was something we were always at. Well, how are you different? Because they were kind of the pioneer, right, of this whole idea. And so they're the ones that most people know about. And so we just had to like really break that down for people. But listen, if you're not spending $150 on content creation, like this isn't for you. Like this, we're not, you know, someone's like, oh, if you just had a $70, you know, $75 a month, it's like, dude, cool. But like, that's not for, there's, go use Jasper, right? Like that's what that's for, is to, you know, if you don't have that budget, then like, yeah, you're going to have to just spend more time, and you're going to have to rewrite things so that it's undetectable from an AI standpoint. But like, if you've got more time than money, then those are the tools you should be using.
I think it sounds to me like there's at least two different use cases that are just no-brainers. When a company has an in-house marketer and they're saying, I need to hire somebody to start doing writing, right? This is a way for them to expand their skill set in their one person department potentially without having to bring on a full-time writer. Totally. Or for an agency that is looking to scale up its, you know, providing writing services, that this is a way to enhance that capability at probably a much lower cost and potentially a much higher quality than they
nailed it. I mean, so we actually are working with one of the largest content agencies in the world, I'll say. And by that, I mean, you know, 300 plus writers, 5 million words a month, thousands of blog posts a month, right? Well, they're able to cut down on that headcount massively. And so and not only that, I mean, if you've ever managed to write it, just the process involved in that is ridiculous and a monster headache. You've got to give briefs to everyone. When are you getting it back? You don't know. Like, how many rounds of editing do you have to go through before you can deliver to the client, right? Like that whole workflow is just, it is a nightmare. There's no doubt. And so we're ultimately going to be kind of built for that, right? Where it's not just generating content, it's helping you manage that entire process, really, like and streamlining it. And so we use it internally, right? We have a done for you service, and we have a writing team. And so kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, are writers at risk? Absolutely. Like, you definitely are at risk, because AI can do the job oftentimes just as well, if not better, than a lot of the writers out there. So the people that are going to be kept at that agency, right, when they cut down from 300 writers to 40, 50, are going to be the ones that know how to optimize the AI content and that whole workflow. And so, like, those are the ones that are going to be worth keeping. And so those are the ones, like, those are the skills you're going to have to evolve and adapt to. But yeah, you know, those are definitely great use cases for sure.
Yeah. Well, brilliant. We have kept you longer than I had promised, and probably kept our listeners here a little long too. And so I want to wrap things up. Justin McGill, where can people find, aside from going to the show notes and clicking on my affiliate link, find Content at Scale?
Well, if they do that, they'll actually get 20% more post credit. So it is definitely worthwhile. So I would definitely recommend clicking his link, so everybody wins that way. Outside of that, if you wanted to reach out direct, Justin@contentatscale.ai, or I'm on Twitter. It's JUS10 McGill, MCGILL. So Justin McGill. That is my Twitter handle.
Well, perfect. We'll leave both of those on the show notes as well. Justin McGill, thank you so much for hanging out and going deep on this topic. It's been really enlightening, and I'm super excited for you about the development of the platform, and can't wait to see where it goes.
Love talking about it. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who can benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, please share it with them. Until next time, I'm David Baer. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.